it has been a longstanding procedure of this committee that only the chair and the ranking member give opening statements. The chair, with the concurrence of the ranking member, would kind of diverge from that for this hearing because of the long time interest in and leadership by Senator Roberts on this issue, and because he had been a leader on a bill that came up about five or six years ago. I would yield for no more than 5 minutes again for an opening statement by Senator Roberts.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman, and Ranking Member Enzi. And the reason I'm making this statement is very simple. I've been involved in this for 12 years. This is not a new story. I just appreciate allowing me to make a short statement. I believe it's important to outline some of the previous actions that members of this committee and the Senate have taken in the past to review and take action on issues relating to compounding pharmacy. I want to begin by thanking the chairman and the ranking member for holding this hearing on a crisis that has gained significant and deserved attention over the past few weeks, but is also an issue that many of us on the committee have worked on for many years and for some over a decade. First and foremost, I want to start out by reiterating my support for pharmacy compounding. I know that compounding serves a very important role for patients who are allergic to certain ingredients found in approved drugs, or for children who need a pediatric dosage of a drug. Legitimate pharmacy compounding occurs when a patient has a special medical need that cannot be met by an FDA-approved drug. Their physician writes a specific prescription for the patient, and then the individual pharmacist makes the medication for the individual patient. This type of compounding should continue. I want to work to ensure that we don't do anything to alter that practice. However, and unfortunately, the more traditional pharmacy compounding is not where we are today. We are here today because there have been bad actors who are using the good name of pharmacy compounding to mass produce products not approved by the FDA and provide them to patients. Compounding products are made for the individual patient and are therefore not FDA approved. However, under the guise of traditional compounding, some manufacturers have been mass-producing and providing products without the knowledge of the patient or their doctor. Regrettably, this is not a new issue. There have been many examples of injuries and deaths from unsafe compounded drugs that stretch across the country. In fact, it goes back over a decade or more. Throughout that time, I've had the privilege of working with many members on this committee, more especially Senator Burr, on issues relating to pharmacy compounding. Now, this is an issue that hit far too close to home in Kansas. Several years ago, a pharmacist in Kansas City was found to be diluting cancer drugs for his patients. Unfortunately, over 4,000 patients were affected before authorities could stop him. Senator Kit Bond and I worked together at that time to hold the first HELP Committee hearing on pharmacy compounding. We requested a GAO report on the status of pharmacy compounding to try to get some answers. We sponsored with what I always thought was a very simple amendment to the Medicare Modernization Act to have the FDA establish a committee to look into pharmacy compounding and make any recommendations to improve and protect patient safety. This committee was to terminate after 1 year. It was an amendment supported in the Senate. Unfortunately, it was stripped during the conference because some folks incorrectly thought that the states were adequately regulating such pharmacies and that additional federalization would be an undue burden. Now, I must say, I think every member here on this committee time and again has fought against additional federal regulation and placing undue burdens on any constituent, including my local community pharmacists. I was amazed. Fast forward a few years later, with Chairman Kennedy and Senator Burr, we once again tried to take a closer look at the regulation enforcement of pharmacy compounding. In an effort to be open and transparent, we produced a discussion draft along with Ranking Member Enzi and Senator Reid and requested comments and feedback. Now, while I don't think that discussion draft is anything that I would recommend signing into law today, the intent was to garner stakeholder feedback and apply it to our policymaking. Instead, rather than working with us, we were faced with a full grassroots effort to stop the discussion of the draft from moving forward. I said then, and I would repeat now, that's my intent. I do not believe it is the intent of others or myself never to do away with pharmacy compounding. What we needed were answers. What we got was pushback. Now, while it was ultimately Chairman Kennedy's decision not to move forward with a decision draft, I had hoped then and continue to believe it is important today to revisit the regulation, oversight and enforcement of pharmacy compounding at the federal and state levels. There are obviously very serious patient safety concerns. I have my own opinions on where the cracks may be and ways to address these safety concerns. To that end, I am working with my colleagues on the HELP Committee to discover the appropriate measures we need to put in place to protect patient safety. Let me be clear. I have not and will not introduce any sort of legislation to ban pharmacy compounding. However, the recent and repeated loss of life has reiterated the need for appropriate measures to be put in place to ensure that bad actors can no longer take advantage of patients. Patients have a right to know when they are receiving a product that is not FDA-approved and the risk that may come using it. And as I said during the last hearing we had on this subject, I fully recognize the benefits of compounding pharmacy, and they will fill an important niche in the healthcare delivery system. However, many questions need to be answered. How do we define manufacturing versus compounding? What are we doing at the state level to enforce regulations currently on the books? How can we get states to do not have adequate regulations on the books to improve? Are those who are inspecting properly trained? Should we have a means to test products once they have been compounded to ensure they are safe and accurate doses? Are schools of pharmacy properly training individuals to compound and what steps they should take to do it safely? Why is there not a system of adverse event reporting? These questions were important a decade ago, and unfortunately, they continue to remain relevant as of today. My expectation from today's hearing is to answer some of these questions, learn more about the current state of regulation of pharmacy compounding, and I expect all of our witnesses to commit to working fully with this committee to address any potential gaps in the regulatory structure that would potentially affect patient safety. And I thank the Chair and my colleagues for their indulgence.
Thank you very much, Senator Roberts. Now we'll turn to our